Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of the Earl O'Farre Hutchinson Show. I'm your host, Earl O'Farre Hutchinson. All right, as those know that have been following events, and certainly as reported on the Earl O'Farre Hutchinson Show, we've been spending a lot of time the last week or so talking about Damar Hamlin. Now, for maybe the one or two individuals out there that don't know who Damar Hamlin is, Damar Hamlin tragically and certainly sadly, about a week ago, actually more than a week ago now, Monday, January 2nd, one of the most watched, if not the most watched, Monday night football game in a contest between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Buffalo Bills. Damar Hamlin, safety on the defensive team for the Buffalo Bills, in a collision with the receiver from the Cincinnati Bengals in the first quarter, one play, at least the first play, early on in the first quarter. He was injured, and the injury was not just a typical injury. We're talking about a heart attack. Let's call it what it is. They put polite terms on it, cardiac arrest and some exotic term which I've never heard from, but the fact is the kid had a heart attack, 24 years old. In his second year, actually, with the Buffalo Bills, and not a starter, but forced into action because of something that happens routinely in the NFL. That's something that's called injuries. You had an injured starter and starters, but in this particular case, a starter in the defensive backfield that was injured, so he was there. All right, the rest is history. There have been a number of developments since then, and each week, each day almost practically, during the week since the televised game, and of course the world knew about and knows about the fate, the plight, and the very sad tragedy, which of course is not in some ways totally sad because the support, sympathy, and outpouring has been tremendous, not only within the NFL, but certainly without the NFL, fans, sports establishments, sports writers, and so forth. My special guest, again, is Pat Freeman, an NFL commentator, analyst, but more particularly the Buffalo Bills, longtime analyst with the Bills and a commentator for the Buffalo Bills on their continuing many games, of course, both in Buffalo and on the road. And I mentioned on the road because Pat happened to be in Cincinnati for that fateful game that night. Pat, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
Very good. Pat, thanks again for taking time out of your very busy schedule and joining us. Now, Pat, you sent me something a day ago that definitely, well, we've been going back and forth about Hamlin and the National Football League and, of course, all the events surrounding this saga. But you sent me something that really, really touched the nerve, and I call it the commercialization of Damar Hamlin. Not unexpected. Obviously, he's gotten a great deal of media attention, public support. The NFL, quote-unquote, has rallied. I say quote-unquote because, you know, we've got some issues there, but we'll get into that. The fact of the matter is he's got national, international, global name identification. That means for some, dollars, dollars, dollars. Profit, profit, profit. Money in the bank for them. So bring us up to speed a little bit, and then I'm going to move into some other areas too, ESPN, and the whole injury, you know, issue that we talk quite a bit about and the future going forward. But, Pat, talk about first the commercialization of Damar Hamlin. What's been happening there?
Well, as you know, I sent you just some of the advertising. If you go online and Google Damar Hamlin merchandise, you see people are selling number threes, jerseys, T-shirts. Now they're selling T-shirts with the sign he makes with his hands of a heart. And this is to raise money for the Cincinnati Medical Trauma Center. And I just think it's getting to the point where his notoriety, because of the amount of attention that he's received from that Monday night game, and a lot of it very positive, that there are powers out there that are trying to take advantage of that for their own you know, financial reasons. I don't think it's all for the good of a cause or anything. I think there are people out there just trying to make money off the notoriety of this young man who almost died on the field more than a week ago. And it just became, and it is somewhat concerning that there are those that would do that. It's not unexpected, but you would think that people would look at this situation somewhat differently, but I guess when it comes to money, people are still going to try to take advantage of whatever situation that presents itself.
All right, Pat, let's talk about money. Let's stay on that thread for a second. Let's talk about DeMar Hamlin, specifically money. Now, correct me if I'm off on this, Pat, because you know firsthand all the details, not only involving contracts with a player like DeMar Hamlin, but certainly contracts with many others on the Buffalo Bills and probably many others within the NFL. Let's talk about him. Now, the Bills, what they did was, in conjunction, they cut an agreement with the NFL Players Association that they would pay him his full salary. Now, he was under, my understanding, Pat, a four-year contract that paid him, at least on the surface, $3.65 million. Now, the Buffalo Bills agreed to pay him 1 year. The problem with that, Pat, he's not getting paid $3.65 million. He's getting paid about $800,000 and some change. If he had gone on injured reserve, Pat, my understanding is, and this is the way they, you know, the NFL, they make a lot of money off these guys and how they continue to get richer and richer. If he had gone on injured reserve, he would have been, without what the Bills decided to do, legally, he would have been entitled to about $400,000 plus, about half of that. So, you know, many people are saying, wait a minute, and asking the question, two questions. Number one, what happens after year one? The Bills only agreed for that 1 year, not 4 years, but 1 year. And secondly, my understanding is it 4 or is it 5 years, Pat, that you're vested, you've got to play, you're vested in the NFL, and you're eligible for long-term disability coverage?
Right. It's 3.5 years. And if you're vested and you're on the roster at the first game, they have to pay you the full amount of your contract. This is his second year, so he's not vested. So they had a reduction in his contract that would only pay him a little over $400,000 a year if he is put on IR. So you're absolutely correct. And he's not vested. He's not a vested veteran. He's only in his second year. And they've only guaranteed the 1 year. And they tinkered with the rules to do that. And I had an opportunity to ask Attorney DeMaurice Smith that question, and he basically blew me off because, you know, I was there when Kevin Everett suffered a career-ending spinal injury, and he was guaranteed $284,000 a year for the rest of his life, all of his medical. But when I asked the same question to Attorney DeMaurice Smith, he basically gave me an answer that this is a private matter and would not answer my question. But it's more than a private matter. It basically appertains to over 1,600 professional football players that pay into that union. So this is a question that I think will be asked more and more as time goes on, because I do not believe that DeMar will be able to resume playing. And based on the history of the league, this has not been – when you have those types of injuries, it's very seldom that a player ever comes back. If it's to that degree, that player will not have an opportunity to resume his career. And I'm assuming at this point I would be shocked that he would be able to resume his career. And if he cannot, what are his benefits that he is entitled to – for being hurt on the job what is his disability benefits? And that was basically what I was asking Attorney DeMoria Smith. He felt that those were more private questions.
Well, I can tell you this. He was quoted, Pat, maybe because you really hectored him and said, you know, I demand an answer. He actually was asked that question in an ESPN report that came out. And essentially what he said was he kind of threw his hands up and he went biblical, Pat. He said, well, God will provide. I said, God will provide. And then he fleshed it out a little bit by implying that the Buffalo Bills would take care of everything. He did not specify a dollar amount. He did not specify life insurance long-term. He did not specify disability. He did not specify anything contractually. He left it, Pat, in the hands of God and will provide. I got to tell you one thing. Anytime I hear that, Pat, I run the other way. And I'm a religious person.
Yes, sir.
But I can't depend on God. So basically, that was a non-answer. And also, the non-answer, though, contains something else, Pat, I'd like you to weigh in on. Part of that is it comes back to the goodwill, individual goodwill of this team, the Buffalo Bills, the ownership slash management. That's a heck of a thing, really, to just have to rely on the goodwill of an employer. Pat, I'd rather be covered by a contract than goodwill.
Yes. And that's something that, I had my differences of opinion on certain subjects with Gene Upshaw. But when Kevin Everett suffered his career-ending injury, he came to Buffalo, met with the media, and guaranteed that Kevin Everett would receive around $284,000 a year for the rest of his life. All of his medical expenses would be covered for the rest of his life. That's what he told us. Now, since then, you have had a couple of CBA agreements, and I don't know what those exact numbers are, and that's why we posed the question to Attorney DeMoria Smith. Now, why he's not willing to elaborate on this subject, especially with the amount of attention this is receiving, I think is just a mistake on his part. I think you should be up front because a lot of players were not happy with that last CBA agreement. And I think a lot of them are wondering privately what would happen if they are hurt on the field of play. And, you know, this is not a sport that this is a infrequent occurrence. Each and every game, medical personnel are running out on the field, whether it's a catastrophic injury or whether it's not a catastrophic injury. This is a violent and brutal sport in which you don't have a long career, though you prepare for it all your life. And, you know, it's just something I think the 1,600 or so professional NFL players in the NFL deserve to know.
For those that are just joining me, my special guest, once again, Buffalo Bills commentator, analyst, and NFL analyst, and a man who is on the scene at just about every major sporting event, i.e. football. He was in Cincinnati on January 2nd, Cincinnati Bills, Buffalo, Cincinnati Bengals, and the Buffalo Bills, and, of course, we know DeMar Hamlin. Let me go back to this contract. For those that don't know, Pat has said several times CBA. The CBA stands for Collective Bargaining Agreement. The NFL Players Association, they agree, they sit down with NFL owners, Roger Goodell, manager, they contract all the terms, a lot of terms, pay, injury, issues, collective bargaining agreements. One of the things they did, Pat, and we need to kind of zero in on this when we talk about money and commercialization. The fact is, during this last agreement, a couple of years ago, they cut the deal with the NFL. And the NFL, just to cut right to the chase, what they did was they radically dropped the amount of money that a player is entitled to if they suffer a catastrophic injury, disability over a long term. My understanding, Pat, is you have mentioned many times situation involving the player some years ago when Upshaw was president of the NFLPA, where he got about 280 and change, well, 80,000. Where now it could be under this terms of this agreement, which has been on hold, though, for 2 years, it could be Damar Hamlin, and the Damar Hamlins of the world could only get $4,000. Pat, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that?
Nothing. There's no way you can survive. And if he is disabled, which you know the seriousness of his injury, he could very well be. This is a major issue, and I was very concerned that attorney Demoria Smith would not be upfront about what these players would receive if they're seriously injured on the field. And as you know, this happens all the time. Normally, when a person is taken out on a stretcher, you get the thumbs up sign, they're okay. This did not happen last week. He never put up a thumbs up sign. They had to defibrillate him right on the football field, cut his jersey off. And this was as serious a situation as you could ever imagine. And this young man's career is in jeopardy, if not over. What will he receive for the rest of his life for being injured on the job? And I think it's a fair and equitable question that attorney Demoria Smith owes not only the members of his union, but Damar's family, because they're the ones that are going to have to bear the brunt of making sure that this young man is okay. He's only 24 years old. And you're talking about his career could be over. So how is he covered by a union that these guys have entrusted to make sure that they are taken care of properly? And if it is significantly lower than what Kevin Everett received, I think that's a deep concern. Being a person from a union background, that means that you negotiated down a previously negotiated settlement. At this point, things usually go up. Am I correct? You don't negotiate them down, especially when you've added another game to a very brutal and physical sport. So now you're playing 17 games. There's a more likely chance that you can have another catastrophic injury. So you should be covered by more than you were in 2007.
Well, you know, a couple of things, Pat, about that. What many people, including myself, can't figure out, at least on the surface, is how you can take a league that has got more money than God, practically. You've got multi-billionaire owners in the 30-plus NFL teams. They're all making money, guaranteed lots of money. Why would you negotiate, and why would a association that represents your most important employees, i.e. the players, why would that association slash union, when you're dealing with a very well-heeled, a very wealthy league, a very wealthy entity, why would you cut benefits? I mean, I'm scratching my head, as many others are. You would think, Pat, just as you said before, given the amount of revenue that comes in, pours into the NFL, you would be happy to negotiate settlements that essentially are very substantial. And by settlements, I mean issues like long-term disability insurance, and most importantly, pay. I would think that. One other thing, Pat, clarify, because a lot of people, they see an Aaron Rodgers. They see a Patrick Mahomes. They see Tom Brady. They see them signing contracts for $35, $40, $50 million. And they think, God, how can you complain, Earl? How can you say anything? How can you criticize the league? These guys are making multi-millions, Pat, as you well know. Everything is not what it seems on the surface. Talk about that. It's not what it seems when it comes to all 1,600 players in the NFL.
Right. And they're the haves and the have-nots. I mean, it's almost the same as Tyler Perry's longtime running series. You've got the haves and the have-nots. You have 53 to 68 people on a roster, including a practice squad. And there's only a few players that are really making that kind of money. And the funny thing about it, Doc, with this last CBA, The players that you mentioned, the upper-tier players, they were against this contract. It was the lower-tier players who probably did not read it are the ones that approved it. The Russell Wilsons, the Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, they weren't for this last CBA. And it got approved. And that's something to think about when your upper-tier salary players were against a CBA agreement. That tells me that this agreement fell short in a lot of areas for players.
Well, one thing, Pat, when you talk about players, and we talked about this a little bit earlier privately, you must understand, I mean, we played football, you know, not at that level, at the professional level, but we know enough about the thinking of players. You know, these are young men that have been in the game practically coming out of the crib if they had any kind of athletic talent at all. They've gone through Pop Warner. They've gone through a junior high school. They've gone through high school. They've gone through college. Oftentimes, they were centerpiece athletes, and obviously they were good enough to be that maybe 0.1% to make it, at least to break into the NFL. Their thinking, Pat, is, hey, football is all we know. I mean, we love it. That's what we do. We're conditioned. Right. We have that mindset. So I would not be surprised if someone, and they will, they're going to start putting microphones in front of Hamlin. And you know as well as I do, Pat, he's going to say, I can't wait to get back on the field. I can't wait to get back on the field. People don't understand that mindset. And that explains to me partially why so many of those lower tier players, they just went along with the agreement. It really didn't matter to them. They're just happy to be playing the game.
Right, exactly. And I spoke to you earlier about Derek Burrows. He told me he really didn't want to retire, but there was no doctor or team that would clear him to play. So he had to retire. It was over. There was no one that would employ him after having such a catastrophic injury. And no team would give him a chance. So he was forced to retire, and he's went through a lot and is still going through a lot. But luckily, he had professional leadership skills, and he is now the athletic director at Lane College. But he and I stay in touch, and he is still going through a lot from his injury, which occurred in 1989. And just like him, people will forget about Damar Hamlin. I'm sorry, but there will come a day when they're not even thinking about him. Right now, he's all over the news. He's what everybody's thinking about, and that's great. But how many of them talk about Kevin Everett, Derek Bird, or Derek Burrows? There's so many players that have had catastrophic injuries that once they're out of the news, nobody's thinking about them. And that's why it's so important that these players need to know, what is your disability benefit if you are hurt on the field? And that's something that it seemed that Attorney Demaurius Smith just has been not willing to give a straight answer. And unlike his predecessor, he made sure that it was known publicly what Kevin Everett would receive. And he came to Buffalo and made sure that the media knew it, his family knew it, and everybody else knew that this young man would be taken care of for the rest of his life. Because whenever you have an injury that serious, it is more likely a chance that you will never play again. Not a sport of this magnitude and as violent and brutal as it is. The chances of Damar returning to the field, and I'm not trying to be the doctors or anything, but as you well know, Doc, any type of heart problem is serious.
Yeah.
Reggie Lewis, Hank Gathers, you can go down the list of a few names that died right on the court. This is a very serious matter, and he literally had to be resuscitated twice. So he was in dire straits there, and it would be amazing to me if he returns to the field.
Pat, we got about 1 minute and a half left. I want to ask you a final question very quickly. Get your crystal ball out for a second, in part. And also another part of that is you are always in touch with the Buffalo Bills management, top to bottom, coaching staff. You know the thinking of the management at the top. If you had to hazard a guess or look in your crystal ball, after year one with DeMar Hamlin, he's received his full salary. Year two, year four, year five, very quickly, Pat, will the Buffalo Bills do the right thing, even without a contract, a contractual obligation, and take care of him, as DeMaurice Smith says that they will?
Well, this is a different owner than for the most part of the Bills' history. Terry Pegula and his wife, Kim, have owned the team since 2014. So they have never dealt with an issue like this. They have not had a catastrophic injury since their, other than maybe Aaron Williams, and I think he was before their time. And I don't think they've had a catastrophic injury at all during their tenure. So this will probably be a test of how this administration sees fit on what it will do for this young man. Because I truly believe under the circumstances, the heart is just, as you well know, this is different. And if you have an ailment or you have damage there, you probably will be advised to end your career. And where will you be financially? I don't know. It's going to be up to the Pegulas and how they see fit and what the NFLPA has provided in the CBA and the rest of the owners of the NFL. Because this was as serious a matter as they've ever been confronted with, because most players around the league, because of social media, because of technology, and because of the importance of this game, which we talked about earlier, this game was seen by everyone. Everyone saw what happened, every player, and it affected the entire league and this country on how you see this sport. And I think immediately the NFL and its sponsors went into immediate damage control to make sure that you know that the NFL is safe and that they do everything they could. I thought they did a great job on Monday in saving this young man's life. But as far as the long-term future, that's something my crystal ball is a bit cloudy right now.
All right. Pat, always appreciate it. You know, do this. Keep myself, as you will, and also our audience, keep us up to date on developments in Buffalo with DeMar and the team and the NFL as we go forward. And we're going to keep discussing, keep having this conversation, and your time permitting, you've been very gracious with us. We're going to keep having you back to get updates on it. Pat, have a good evening, and thanks again for joining us on the Earl O'Farrell Hutchinson Show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Take care. All right. You've been listening to the Earl O'Farrell Hutchinson Show, the commercialization of DeMar Hamlin. It's a saga that's going to continue. And once again, I thank my good friend, my good associate, and one of the crack NFL analysts, and of course, commentator. And he has his own sports show, by the way, in Buffalo. Pat Freeman, thanks again for joining us tonight.